Pastor Record and I will be spending about 2 weeks in Washington, D.C., talking to men directly connected with the United States government. Senators, members of the House of Representatives, their assistants, anyone else we can see. But this year, I think the hour is so late that we're going to be going there with a message from God that these men and this nation is coming under the judgment of God. And brother, sister, I mean a lot more than you and I have seen so far. So turn with me back to Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. I want to read some of this because Jeremiah was in a situation similar to what we are. He was a prophet of God in the Judah kingdom just before God brought judgment on that nation. And in this chapter, he tells about what was going to be done and why. And as you read it, you can see the comparison to the United States of America today. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Now the implication here was, at the time of Jeremiah, it was practically impossible to find anyone who sought the truth of God, or who tried to bring judgment, punishment of the criminals, and the right things done to the widow and the orphan and the fatherless, and so on. And America today, if you read your newspapers at all, and get out and look in the broad ways, as Jeremiah was to do, you know that punishment of criminals has practically disappeared in America. The usurer is able to ply his trade and rob and plunder our people. The crooked criminal politicians are in control of almost all of the governmental agencies in America, from the local school boards right on up to the federal government. And the honest people sit in their homes almost ready to start cowering with fear, except that they're so busy trying to earn enough money to pay their taxes that they don't have time to think about it. And we're almost, I believe, in a position the same as Jeremiah. Just before I came up to the pulpit this morning, one of the men showed me a copy of an article, I believe from Newsweek magazine or one of those, with some photographs showing a service at an Episcopalian church, which included a nude white woman, a nude white man, and a nude Negro in a large tub all together during the services in this Episcopalian church. Now, some of these things, you and I, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, we would not have believed that these could happen. And yet today, when I read Jeremiah going to the old Judah kingdom, when God says to Jeremiah, you go out and look in the broad ways and go through the streets of Jerusalem, and if you can find anybody that executeth judgment and seeketh the truth, I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. At least 75% or more, I would guess 90% of the people in America will say God exists, that there is a God, if you talk to them. But somebody patronizes all the bars with the topless waitresses. Somebody buys all the booze that's manufactured in America. In my own home state where I was born in Wisconsin, I read the statistics one time here some time ago about the amount of beer that's consumed per capita in the state of Wisconsin, and I was almost ready to disbelieve it. It runs up into the barrels per capita, and a lot of people don't drink any beer, so someone must be drinking a tremendous amount. This nation is just literally being pickled in alcohol. Millions of people. Someone estimated we have at least 4 million alcoholics who do nothing but just eat enough food to stay alive and spend all the rest of their money on alcohol. And yet at the same time, this nation claims that the Lord liveth. We have more churches, more radio broadcasts. We have evangelists that travel all over the country. They can draw 40 to 60,000 people at a time. And God says, yeah, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. We pay, at least the working people, pay from one quarter to one third of all of their earnings as some sort of tribute, either on interest on loans or on taxes to some governmental agency. This is all taken away from them. And what happens? Do they turn to the Lord? No, they just grip their teeth and go back to work and they curse the man who raises the tax, or they curse the banker, but no one seems to understand that God might have something to do with it. He says, no, they make their faces harder than rock and refuse to turn. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men. Well, if these little people won't hear and can't seem to understand, I'll go to the intelligent and the wise men of the nation, the great men. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord. They did know this. They were taught this. They heard it. And the judgment of their God. But what happens? But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Even when he goes to the great men, to the men in authority, even those in authority in the churches, and finds out what? They have broken all the bonds and turned away from the Lord. This was the Judah kingdom just before God brought Babylon, brought the Chaldean armies against them. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. And I have been amazed, not only because of what has happened, but because it took Pastor Emery so long to realize this, but it's taken me years to realize that this term in the Bible, when it says they have sworn by them that are no gods, and that they have turned to other gods, actually is indicative of our so-called Christian churches. All churches in America that preach false doctrine are preaching other gods, right? Even though they use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they are preaching doctrines that are of God, are not of the Bible, and are not from Jesus Christ, they are swearing by no gods. They're swearing by doctrines that do not exist inside the pages of this Bible. And it's taken me years to realize how few churches in America actually have the Word of God. It is tragic. It is almost unbelievable in a nation that had the beginning that we had to find that you can go in this country for hundreds and hundreds of miles from one church before you arrive at another one that preaches the truth of the Word of God. And I'm not saying this to exalt Pastor Emery and say, well, isn't it wonderful that Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God and there aren't any other ones here? I'm ashamed. It's a tragic consequence of our turning away from the Lord. And we'll see as we go along here that God has done this deliberately. Now, you may think that this is happening just as a happenstance. No, this is part of the judgment of God on us, too. He says, they have sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery. When I poured out all these material blessings upon them, what did they do? Turn and thank God for it? No, they turn around and they turn to all the sins of the flesh. They committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. The newspapers are full of the information today that it apparently is becoming a common and accepted thing, in fact, quite a thing to glory in, that people should marry and divorce and remarry and marry and divorce and remarry. In our news media and our television and our communications media and the entertainment field especially, glorifies all the sins of the flesh. It's reached a point where Christian people may, in the not-too-distant future, have to shut themselves up in their homes and not watch television, not go to movies, not read the magazines, and just cut themselves off from these things because they're getting so filthy. You can't even buy the magazine I mentioned here. They didn't just tell about those naked people in that tub. They've got a photograph in there of them. And this is distributed to millions of homes in America, as are all of these other things. And God said, when I fed them to the full, when I gave them this land and poured out all my blessings on these Israel people, what did they do? Am I talking about the old Judah kingdom, or am I talking about America? Fits them both. Let's go on. God asked the question, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? I don't think even the church-going people in America have an idea of the vengeance of God upon His Israel people when they have committed all of these things. You know, we read the historical accounts of what happened to the Judah kingdom and what happened to the northern house of Israel when they went into Assyria. But have you ever stopped to think about this in a manner where you can just kind of see these people going out from Samaria and going out from Jerusalem on foot, carrying their possessions on their back and their crying babies on their arm, as the armies of Assyria and the armies of Babylon walked alongside them with their archers and their spears and poked them with their spears if they didn't walk as they were supposed to go? Millions of our forefathers were driven out of old Canaan land physically by armies that God raised up from the neighboring countries and came right in there and burned their cities to the ground and took these people into captivity. For doing what? For doing the same things I see America doing here today. And we're the same people. And God says, shall not I visit for these things? Shall not my soul be avenged upon such a nation as this? Go ye upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Now battlements are the defenses and the armies. God said to Judah, to the Judah kingdom, he was going to take them away. And I can tell you, brother and sister, for a surety, that the military defenses of the United States of America are practically gone. My anti-communist and patriotic friends tell us, well, that's because of the treason in Washington, D.C., or because of the communist infiltration. No, that's because God has taken it away from us, because it's not His. We have not depended upon Him. We have tried to depend upon the arm of flesh, and God has taken it away, just as He did the old Judah kingdom. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not He. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. The commentators on all of our news media, including many of the religious commentators, tell us that it's possible that we could have a war or a World War III or something like that where America would be involved. But you know, they always give us an out. They always imply that if we have enough negotiations with the enemy, we'll not see this war. And they continually tell us about all of our increase in our surplus of our food. No one warns America of famine. I mentioned this on the radio some 2 years ago, in an article about the agricultural blessings that God has poured out upon us. And I quoted some statistics to show that today, now, the United States of America does not produce even as much food as we consume. Many people don't know that. We actually import more food in America today than we export. So our total food production in America is less than we would need to support America. What would it take to bring famine on America? Nothing more nor less than a sea blockade of this nation, and we would be in trouble on our food supplies just like that. Most people don't know that. No one warns them. In fact, they imply that our major problem is still production. I read the newspaper here about a month ago, and they told us about all the scores of farmers in the state of Arizona who received anywhere from a few hundred dollars up to $25,000 to $50,000 per farm, not to raise food. And yet we're in a condition where we can have famine in the land. But he said of this old Judah kingdom at the time that they were doing this, they didn't believe that they would ever have a war to ravage their land or have famine in the nation. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not He. Now, I have a practical, impossible time in telling the American people that these judgments are coming from God, and they don't believe it until they believe one thing, that we are the Israel people of God. They cannot believe and will not believe that God is bringing judgment upon America until we arrive at the point where they will say, God is our Father, we are His children. And some people give me a little criticism once in a while, not too much. for spending so much time on the teaching of our Israelite identity. How in the world can these people in America recognize that these judgments are from God until they recognize we are God's Israel people? Then the Bible makes sense. Then they can see the judgment is coming upon us. But he says, before he brings this nation upon them, they have belied the Lord. They have said it is not he. It's someone else. It's the communists. It's the liberals. In verse 13, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them, thus shall it be done unto them. In effect, God says, Israel, if you turn away from me to the extent that you do, I will see that the word is not in your ministers. Maybe that explains why when people write a letter to me from many parts of the country, and I've had this happen a number of times, and ask me, Pastor Emery, do you know a church that I could go to in my city or somewhere near me where I could hear the Word of God preached? And I have to write back and tell them, well, I'm sorry, I do know of a church, but it's 680 miles away, or it's 1,000 miles away, or it's 200 miles away, or something like that. So far, I have had only one letter where I could write back and tell the man that he had a church nearby, and I discovered that after he wrote to me, that he lived 7 miles from Pastor Bodoni. But he's the only one of all the many letters that I have received from people who ask about a church that I can say, yes, I know a church that you can drive to and attend services on. One man that we did tell about another church now drives to this other church every other Sunday, and the trip is 325 or 350 miles round trip. The closest church in the nation to him that preaches the Word of God. And God described through Jeremiah all of these terrible things that the Judah kingdom was doing, and then God said, I will see that your prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them, thus shall it be done unto them. God Almighty has taken the word, I believe, away from and out of these churches because they won't have it. I remember several years ago when they had their attempting to get some sort of a constitutional amendment through to allow children to read the Bible in the public schools. And at the time I thought, well, this is a good idea. Let's get the Bible back in the schools. And Joe Pastor Stanska preached a sermon about it, and he said, and he quoted from the Bible some of these verses similar to this to show, the American people have refused to have the Bible in their homes and in their churches, so God took it out of the schools too. God took it out. And you're not going to put the Bible back in the schools when God takes it out of the schools. They won't have the truth of the Word in their own homes. They won't have the truth even in their own churches. They'll go to any church in the country as long as a man preaches lies to them. God said, all right, your ministers won't have the Word. If you want all of these other things, that's all you're going to get. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, and he's talking to Jeremiah, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my word in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. God said, my word is not going to devour them. It's actually going to burn them up. You know the history of the Judah kingdom. They actually lost their entire nation, their cities. Jerusalem was literally burned to the ground, and the entire nation was carried captive in Babylon. And God says, that's what my word is going to do to you. You won't have the instruction, it won't instruct you. You won't have the wisdom of the word, it won't give you wisdom. You know what it'll do? It'll burn you and your nation right to the ground. And you know, we're arriving at a point where we have enough revolutionists in America, enough Negro revolutionists, and I guess the Lord is going to bring a bunch of Chinese in here in the not-too-distant future when they get their negotiations through with China, and they'll have enough people in here to start burning America down to the ground. Judgment on Israel? Yes. Why? Because Israel refuses to hear the word of the Lord. And when Israel won't have the word of the Lord, God says, all right, you'll have destruction. In the next verse, he says what he's going to do. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. And the hardest thing the American people have to do is to understand the Russians and the communists. The Russians and the communists come right out and tell us that they're going to destroy America, they're going to destroy Christianity, and our people look at them and say, well, they don't really mean that. What we need is some more negotiation. What we need is some people to talk to them. What we need are some trade agreements. What we need are some more Chinese and Russians in America. Not an understanding at all that God Almighty is actually bringing this upon the nation. And I suppose there must have been quite a lack of understanding at that time over there in understanding that God was bringing upon them. Speaking of these people, it says, their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. They shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Your nation, your wealth, the work of your hands is going to be completely plundered from you and taken away from you. You notice in this story of what they would do, he said they would eat up our harvest. I see that we are already sending trade delegations to China to work out arrangements for them to borrow money through the International Monetary Fund to do what? Buy the harvest of the United States of America. So that our sons and daughters will work in the wheat fields of Kansas and Nebraska and the corn fields of Iowa and all the fields, cotton fields of Arizona, and then the enemy will eat up that harvest after we get through picking it up off the ground. We do the work, we plant the seed, we cultivate it, we raise it, and then it goes to an enemy nation. And here that's what God said he would do with the Israel people when they turned away from him. And here it's happening to us. Are we a bunch of heathen Gentiles? No, I don't think so. Verse 18, he says, nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Now, this is a prophecy both, I believe, of the Israel kingdom then, the Judah kingdom then, and of us today, because God Almighty has told Israel every time he punishes them, he will not make a full end of them. But this is what he did. He actually brought an invasion army against the Judah kingdom for doing the things that I read in these first few verses, which fit exactly what I read in my newspaper and see on my television of America doing today. All right, turn over to Jeremiah 31. Because here is a prophecy, I believe, of the founding of the United States of America. Jeremiah 31, verse 8, after the remnant of Israel is saved, behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now I think of all the messages that we can take to the men in Congress and to the United States of America, we must include both parts of the same message. God is bringing judgment on the United States of America because we are that nation founded, according to Jeremiah 31, and God says of that Ephraim nation that they are his firstborn. And I think that if we deny that, we are denying the fatherhood of God to us as his children, and God is bringing judgment on who? Not on the enemies, not on the communists, but upon his own children, the house of Israel. And if we can read that and understand that, then it makes sense to these men when we tell them such and so is happening. Now, I also think at the same time that we will soon be called upon to do what Moses did. Now, Jeremiah went to the Judah kingdom and said, well, you won't obey God and you've turned away and you've gotten all this. Now, I'm going to bring this great nation against you. Moses had a slightly different work for himself, and I want to read that and then show you the difference between the two and why I think the other one is going to follow in the very near future. In Exodus 4, starting in verse 21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh." Now remember, Pharaoh was not an Israelite. He was the heathen king which was ruling over Israel. "See that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." I think it's about time, and this soon will have to happen, that somebody will have to go to the rulers and oppressors of the American people, the enemies, as it were, and tell them, "Let my people go because these American people are the firstborn of God. They're the Israel people, and God's going to watch over his firstborn." Now notice, Moses was not sent to the children of Israel to tell them this. Remember, Jeremiah went to the children of Israel and told them they had disobeyed, therefore God was going to punish them. Moses went to the men who ruled over the children of Israel and didn't say a thing about Israel's sin. All he was to go tell them was that Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now this is just the beginning of Moses' ministry to Pharaoh for the children of Israel. And you remember the last thing that he did. When they finally didn't let them go, the last thing he did was to slay Pharaoh's son and all the firstborn in Egypt. But we have to have, before we can do the Moses ministry, I think we're going to have what happened in the third chapter of Exodus, which happened before God sent Moses, in verse 9. Now the things that are happening before God sent Jeremiah to the Judah kingdom are already happening. But the things that happened before Moses went to Pharaoh haven't happened yet. So I'm not saying we're ready to do the Moses work yet. In verse 9 of chapter 3, as God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, he said to them, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And I do not believe as of yet we have had the cry of the children of Israel to the Lord for release from oppression. You see, as long as our people are still in the same situation that the Judah kingdom was, where we read in Jeremiah 5 that they refused to acknowledge that it was the Lord who was doing these things, they refused to now acknowledge that they were sinning, all we can do is go in the message of Jeremiah. Tell them they're sinning. Tell them they're the Israel people until the time when they cry to the Lord. Then God will send the deliverer in the manner that he sent Moses. Now some people say, oh, we're ready to lead our people out of captivity. I think they're running ahead of the Lord. The American people, God's Israel people, have not cried unto the Lord for deliverance from their oppressors. In fact, they still, as of this date, by and large, refuse to acknowledge even that they are the firstborn of God. How in the world can Christian people in America cry unto the Lord for deliverance until they recognize they are the people that he has promised this deliverance to, the people he has redeemed? All right, let's go back to Jeremiah 5 again. I wanted to get that in about Moses so that in case, and I've had letters like this, they think that some of these ministers that I associate with are doing the work of Moses. No, I don't think so, because Moses' work was entirely different. Moses' work came after the children of Israel had turned and cried, and we're not in that case yet. We're still in the same situation Jeremiah was in. Same chapter we were in, Jeremiah 5, verse 25. "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Now, this subject is one that takes up a lot of our time when we go to these men in Washington, and this is the reason, of course, for this book, coming soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. It tells these men the same thing that God told Jeremiah was happening in the old Judah kingdom, that they are become gray and waxen rich. They catch people in snares, and they set a trap to catch men. And what do we have? We have a money system in America which is literally a trap for our people. And our people are entrapped in debt, they are entrapped in usury, they are in bondage, and the men who run the system are waxing rich and fat, and their deeds overpass the deeds of the wicked. In fact, these men who put up the great front of being the great community, the standard for the community, the so-called banking system, are actually the biggest crooks that we have in the nation. They are the ones that plunder and steal more from the people than anyone else. And apparently, at the time that God said he was going to bring judgment on the Judah kingdom, that was what was going on there, and that was part of the reason. In fact, in the very next verse, God says again, "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" If we have, which we do, a nation where the people are oppressed and spoiled and robbed and plundered by these billionaire bankers, God says, "I'm not just going to root out the bankers. I'm going to bring judgment on the nation." He didn't say to Jeremiah, "You go tell them that I'm going to root out these wicked people who are robbing the people." He said, "No, you go tell them that I'm going to raise a nation from the sides of the earth, and I'm going to bring this army against you." He says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof?" Now, some translations, and perhaps the margin of your Bible, may say this slightly different, which I think gives a little more sense to it. It says that the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests take into their hands rule by their means. And I believe what that is saying is that these men who have gotten control of this nation of Israel have gotten it by the false preaching of the preachers. And this happened in old Israel. The ministers lied to the people, and the people were fooled and deceived to the extent that therefore the wicked men, the evil men, the criminals, actually got control of the nation through the false preaching of the preachers. But you know, God doesn't give the people, get them off the hook here, you know what it is? "And my people love to have it so." How many times have you tried to tell your brethren in the house of Israel that their preacher or their denomination or the doctrines taught by their denomination are false, and they'll practically fight you? In fact, you probably will lose their friendship. Will they turn to the Bible and search the Scriptures to see if these things be so? No. Apparently, our fathers back in the Judah kingdom were just like that, and they said, "My people love to have it so." They'll stay right in these other places, even though they have to admit that it's false. And God says it's that false teaching that has given rulership to these wicked, evil men. And I know that there are practically no ministers in America who will preach about the wicked money system. There isn't a handful of them who will tell you that usury is wrong in the sight of God, against the law, and that the banking system is plundering the people. Nothing. In fact, they get up and praise the banking system when they have an opportunity to do so, and it is the thing that must have been in existence in the old Judah kingdom. All right, let's go right on to the next chapter, because God starts to tell them some of the things that's going to happen to them. Verse 13, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that shall fall at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Who's God going to visit? The communists? The Russians? The Chinese? No. God is going to visit the house of Israel. And this is all Jeremiah had to tell them. You can read the entire book of Jeremiah, and you will not find a single verse of condemnation for the Babylonians for not obeying the Word of God. Not a one. Doesn't say a thing about God bringing judgment on Babylon or the Chaldeans for not obeying God. But chapter after chapter after chapter in Jeremiah is, Israel, I am going to punish you because you fail to heed my word. You will not listen to my word. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Look back to what the founding of this nation was. Look back to our fathers in colonial America and the early United States. What did they do? Look back for their ways. Some of you folks have done that, and you know they attempted to follow the laws, statutes, and judgments of the great God Almighty, and we were blessed because of it. And God warns through this prophet that they're to look back and see the old ways, the old paths, the right things, the things that they put them on the right way. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. And then he says in verse 22, again, thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel, and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array, for as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. You can read the book of Jeremiah over and over. And brother, sister, I think this is one of the messages that we're going to have to tell to our people and to our nation's government. We have turned away from the Lord God Almighty, and God is not going to send more prophets to us. You know that? He's not going to send more preaching of the word to turn us. He's going to send Russia and China against this nation and punish us for turning from the word of the Lord. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that we're going to preach America out of our situation and out of our trouble. Now, Pastor Emery's not going to stop preaching just because I know preaching is not going to save America. Because I believe that the message that the preachers of America have for America today is, America, God is going to bring Russia and China in and invade this nation and burn your cities to the ground until you do one thing. Turn to the word of the Lord. He's not going to raise up preachers all over this country. He's not going to give us 1,000 radio stations to preach on. The truth of the matter is that right today, in the handful of ministers that belong to the National Association of Kingdom Evangelicals, I believe we have either 11 or 12 members, we cover the nation via radio. America can hear our radio broadcast if they will but turn them on in our interest to hear them. God doesn't have to put us on 1,000 stations to preach the word, because that is not the way God corrects his Israel people. He said right here, they won't hear the word. They love to have this false preaching. And he repeated twice in these two chapters, I'm going to raise up a nation that's going to come against you as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, and our people have, all across this land. The television and the newspaper during the Vietnam War have shown us the cruelty of communist soldiers. Our people have seen it. Millions of our soldiers got a first-hand look at it right in Vietnam, how they take people out and torture them and cut off their heads and pull out their eyes and pull out their fingernails and kill them with the most brutal torture that man has ever devised. We have heard the fame of these people. And who are they? They're the same people that God said he's going to bring right against this nation and against this land. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. The United States of America is going to be literally as a woman in travail when God brings this judgment on this nation. And as I say, as I go with Pastor Robert Eckerd to Washington, D.C., I don't think it's necessarily a case where I'm going to tell these men, well, now what you have to do is turn to the Word of the Lord, because that'll help the people and get us out of debt and help get rid of the communists. No, brother, sister, you're going to turn to the Word of the Lord, because if you don't, God is going to bring military nations against you to burn your cities to the ground and take you in captivity until you do one thing. Listen and obey the Word of the Lord. There's not a thing in my Bible that tells me God is going to punish the communists, just as there's not a word in here about punishing the Babylonians for not obeying the Word of the Lord. We are the firstborn of the great Jehovah. We are Israel. He is our Father, and He is going to bring judgment on us and punishment and chastisement until we do one thing, listen to His Word. Now turn to Jeremiah 30. I'm going to take just a few more minutes, because I really hate to leave you with just this news. This is the bad news of the Bible, but it's necessary for God's Israel people to hear it. But in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah is a prophecy about this same time. Not the old time of the Judah kingdom, but about our time now. Verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. We are in, and soon coming in, to the time of Jacob's trouble. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Remember what the judgment was? That the enemy would actually eat up the food and the harvest on the work of our hands. But God says, now, when I break this yoke in the time of Jacob's trouble, these strangers, these aliens, these enemies will no more serve themselves of him. He goes on and gives a further prophecy, some of which I'm going to have to skip. Let's go down to verse 14. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. I have sent Russia and China and the communists against you, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, and here's the deliverance, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. And when is this time? Well, the last verse gives the time. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. God is not going to withhold this necessary invasion of the United States of America, his firstborn of Israel, in this end of the age, until his chastisement has done what is necessary. One thing, turned us from our iniquities and turned us to the Word of the Lord. Our brother, sister, I think it's about time that men in the government, men in the state capitals, men who have been elected to rulership over the house of Israel are told the simple truth of the Scripture. God is going to raise up these nations from the sides of the earth to invade this nation and punish us because we have refused to hear His Word. And praise the Lord. And tell them God will bring judgment on America, and then He will destroy the enemies when their work is accomplished upon us. Our Father and our God, we pray that as Thou hast promised in Thine own Word that these days would be shortened for the election's sake. Father, we see this great cloud of enemies over us, their great military might, their infiltration in our nation, and we thank You, Lord, that we can see that You know of this, that Your hand is upon this, that this is not for our destruction, but actually for our good, for our chastisement, for the causing of the turning of Israel to Thee. And we pray in Jesus' name, speed the day. Amen.